So just asking, welcoming all the superheroes and everyone who's listening to this call, and really asking you to take a few deep breaths and get really comfortable. This is going to be a very powerful call. We are in extraordinary times, and this is definitely a call to get super real right now. So soft, gentle, deep breaths, and let's just put our hands on our hearts and really drop into that super deep heart space, and just really getting in touch with that, the inner core of our integrity. Let's just breathe here with this Nizche that we talk about consistently as the epicenter of everything. If you haven't got this degree of certainty within you, if you haven't accessed this potent knowingness, this absolute pure undiluted faith that you can manage your life and deal with the transformations that are going on within you and all around you and all the challenges that presents, then you're going to be wobbling all over the place. And it's just a simple fact of life. We really have to be living from this place within us now. There's no time to be faffing around or, you know, just playing silly little games anymore. We need to really know who we are and rest in the certainty of that knowing. That's Nizche, the burning Nizche, the epicenter of the vortex that you are. So just take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. If you're feeling agitated in any way, if you've been rushing to get to this call, or you're whizzing from the day, then just do a few alternate nostril breaths. Put your right thumb on your right nostril, two fingers on your forehead, and you're going to use your third finger to close your left nostril. Put your right thumb on your right nostril and just breathe in through your left nostril. Take a nice long deep breath. Close the left nostril with your third finger, open your right nostril and breathe out through your right nostril. Inhale right. Close with the thumb, exhale left. Inhale left. Close the left, exhale right. Inhale right. Close with the right, exhale left. Inhale left. Close the left, open the right, exhale. And relax. Soft, gentle, deep breaths. Just relaxing deeper and deeper and deeper into yourself in the name of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of love, hallelujah. In the name of love. Through the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit. Calling upon the amazing grace of the Holy Spirit to bless us all in this call with absolute clarity so that we can hear what we need to hear, say what we need to say, feel what we need to feel, and get what we need to get. So that we become pure and more perfect expressions of your love, your light, your truth, your power, your presence, your peace in the world of form. For the highest good of all beings throughout all space and time, forever and ever and ever, in the name of love. Hallelujah, 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 in the name of love. Hallelujah. Amen. So we could do a nice long that intention. Soft, gentle, deep breath. Soft, gentle, deep breath. Now, what I'm about to share with you is pretty sobering news. As ever in these calls and within superhero training, we like to establish the context of what's going on so we understand the scene that we are called to act out our hero parts in this shifting landscape of life. What we call life, our version of it. And so the big news over the last couple of weeks is this CERN machine that they've been cranking up again in Switzerland. This is a tunnel, a circular tunnel under the ground. It's over 20 miles long. They began construction of this thing in 1958. They've been running experiments since 1958. Remember, they started all the nuclear stuff. They dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the Second World War, and that was the beginning of the acceleration of humans' interference into the subatomic world, where tremendous forces are unleashed. Not only do they destroy on the surface, but they also have an extremely detrimental effect on souls, on consciousness, because they get into these subatomic realms. So the CERN machine is the extension of this technology, is the extension of this research and the deepening of this research. Now remember, when any governments are involved, something very, very sinister is going on. The controlling interests that manipulate governments and tell politicians what to do, what to say, and formulate their agendas, which they are absolutely merciless in terms of carrying out, whether it involves going into somebody else's country and murdering all the innocent people and grabbing all their, you know, oil, gold, water, mineral resources, whatever it is, destroying their whole place, rebuilding infrastructure. They couldn't care less. They don't bat an eyelid about that. This is a very, very, very sinister, simple fact of modern life. So this international operation in CERN basically consists of a tunnel under the ground over 20 miles long, a circular tunnel. And what they do is they shoot electronic particles, subatomic particles, we call them positrons, in opposite directions around this tunnel, but they're traveling faster than the speed of light, and they try and smash them into each other. This is what they do. They try and smash them into each other, and if they smash them into each other or even get close to smashing them into each other, they create a tremendous amount of energy releasing. This energy doesn't release outward in terms of a nuclear explosion where it blows everything up. They're not trying to blow Switzerland up and half the world. What it does is it explodes inwards. And so what that does is it rips. It rips into the fabric of space-time. We are in a space-time continuum. Space and time are curved. They're basically two extra elements, like earth, air, fire, water. There's time and space. And consciousness is the seed that's planted in this thing. Time-space curves, and it creates gravitational spin. That's how we can have a third dimension and a 3D world, and we can walk around, and it takes us 5 minutes to walk over there, and it's, you know, so far away. This is space-time, but space and time does not exist everywhere. It doesn't exist in other dimensions in eternity. There are realms beyond space and time, so space-time curves, and it creates this gravitational spin, which holds all this stuff together that we perceive as our reality and our world. So with the CERN thing, they smash through this on the inside. And what they do is they release something called antimatter. And there's a, you know, this is pure science I'm talking to you. I've been doing a lot of research on this over the last week too. And I posted a fascinating interview on my Facebook page. And I heartily encourage you to check this out. What that does is when you create antimatter, it does something quite extraordinary. Within these realms of darkness, within this antimatter, the energies that are in there, the forces that are in there, are extremely chaotic. And in religious terminology, it is the realm of demonic entities. And so they're literally trying, as these cycles of time that we're in right now, we hear different versions on the same thing about a new age beginning, or the end of the Mayan cycle, or the confluence age and the beginning of the golden age. And the Hopi Indians have a different perspective on this, and many, many, many cultures have a slightly different spin on the same theme, that we are in cycles of time, because space-time curves and it spins like a universe, like a galaxy. It has this spiraling effect that doesn't last forever. It only lasts for a certain period of time. this, of course, can be, you know, at least thousands of years, if not hundreds of thousands of years, or according to the Hindus, millions of years. But whatever the case, something is coming to its peak, a crescendo. Now, under normal circumstances, in a natural realm where things aren't being interfered with, every consciousness naturally evolves and upwards, consciousness ascends. But because we're being interfered with and tampered with, manipulated by governments and sinister forces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's an increasing amount of chaos in our world. And so the mad notion is, you know, think James Bond on steroids with the arch villain and the classic superhero story with the, you know, the arch villain who's trying to take over the world or this, that, and the other. They are trying to generate as much chaos as is possible at a critical time in the transformation of the world, of transformation of our reality. So the fascinating thing about antimatter is wherever the darkness is in the world, including inside us, because we're talking about subatomic realms, spiritual realms, wherever the darkness is, when more antimatter is produced in the world through these experiments, the darkness that is in the world increases exponentially. And so this, and wherever that darkness is, it will attract this antimatter and this darkness that's being produced to it. And so you're going to see increasingly bizarre behavior, increasingly, you know, quote unquote demonic behavior, people being possessed by all kinds of the darkest expression of ego. And it's getting very, very serious now. So we as superheroes absolutely need to be on our A game. Like, this is the time to get super real and be so solid in our practice and in our certainty and in our heart surrendered to this amazing grace that is designed to flow through us, will flow through us, can flow through us and protect us, and not only protect us but will allow us to thrive on our soul missions, on our dharma, which obviously is for the benefit of others, and within that, however we choose to express creatively, is for the upliftment of their consciousness. So it's a critical time, and it is a time to be really, really motivated to do what you're here to do. Brother Michael.
Absolutely. These are crazy times. We've been talking about this for a long time, but not everyone obviously takes these things seriously, because there is the cloud of Maya, of delusion, over everyone. So for us to snap out of that really takes something, which is why we're here, to remind you of what's important. And one of the things that is extremely powerful is just the willingness to let go of everything you have over and over again, because the only thing to worry about is attachment to all the stuff. Because if you're not attached to your body, and you're not attached to your stuff, and you're not attached to anyone else, then it doesn't matter what happens, because you're fine. But any attachment, which there's, by the way, lots and lots of levels of attachment, any of that stuff, that's why we suffer. You know, Buddha said it a couple of thousand years ago, 2,500 years ago, that desire and attachment is the problem. You know, we need to overcome it. And not many people took him up on that one. But it's the same thing now as it was back then. But things are getting far more serious than they ever were. So what Nick's saying is, come back to the essence, come back to zero, come back to that field, that place where you don't have anything, where you don't own anything, where you don't have to do anything, where you don't have any need for dreams or for making things happen or for achieving something. Just come back to zero, 0 point, 0 point. And we need to do this to offset all these crazy things, you know, because the scientists, they're trying to discover dark matter with this wonderful experiment they're doing under the ground. they're trying to do all sorts of things, but their legitimate reason for it is to see what is going on inside dark matter. So they're trying to find the essence, the ground of existence, you know, and we already know what that is, and we can experience it, you see. So we could save these people a lot of time and hassle, you know, if they just talk to us. But we need to actually practice these things and not just know about them. So this is our challenge to you as a superhero, is to spend time every day where you are willing to come back to zero in the point. You'll feel it when you get there. So that's the challenge for superheroes, come back to zero. Isn't that right, bro?
Absolutely, and of course, as you know, these extreme situations crystallize, there is you know, an apparent moving closer of this grace, of this experience that's there, and I'm just finding it's so easy and so quick to move into these realms of peace, into these realms of absolute delight and divine presence, and especially when I practice Angel Qigong, because when you are treating yourself, considering yourself as a soul, and having this depth to yourself, where there is an ancestral soul matrix, where there are vibrations from previous experiences and from all of this ancestral chaos that we've inherited, that is actually within us, it's stored within the living waters of the soul. When you treat yourself as a soul and you treat those realms in deep relaxation with love, forgiveness being the fundamental active components in the love equation, when you treat yourself as a soul and you comb through these areas with your awareness, wonderful goodness is released. And of course, this is the what we're supposed to be doing. And of course, you know, evil plays its part. This isn't like some random occurrence. This is, you know, this, all of this has a purpose. And of course, it's a great mystery to us, and you know, this isn't like this is a scripted thing, but the nature of life is quite simply that all things work for the good of those who love God. All things, not just some things, all things, the good and the bad. And so we have to take this motivation, the horror of this, the shock of this. I mean, they crank that thing up, and they're going to be running this thing over the next 6 months. So they're experimenting pretty consistently in waves of activity for the next 6 months. They only cranked it up once, and there were 24 earthquakes and volcanoes in the same week. Chile absolutely exploded. There was a dreadful earthquake in Kathmandu, and coincidentally, synchronistically, I had a client. I'm down here in Bali because I came to run a Gentle Warrior for a private client. He's flying to Kathmandu today, or via Germany, and he doesn't even know if he's going to be able to get in because there aren't any flights going in and there aren't any flights going out in Nepal right now. Kathmandu, dreadful, dreadful scenario out there. So he's going to go and lend a hand. He's just done Gentle Warrior with me, and the guy is just, you know, he's really going up there to try and, you know, hold some solid space and do what he can. He's blazing, and I mean, he's so inspiring going right into it. But you're going to see more and more and more of this upheaval that's going on in the world. The world is in extraordinary upheaval. And funnily enough, in terms of geological upheaval, it's not just this planet. If you do the research and you check out the guys like Richard Hoagland that are proper scientists and have access to data, to satellites and spacecraft that are orbiting in our solar system, and monitoring the changes, climatic changes, geological changes that are going on the other planets in our solar system. Every single planet is going through massive upheaval, pole shiftings, earthquakes, extreme winds and storms, all kinds of geological rearrangement is going on right now in the whole of our solar system. So something out of this world is affecting all of this, yeah? And it is for the benefit of those who love God, because we're supposed to be, as our consciousness raises, our form transcends, and we transcend our physical form and the limitations of it. And so this is a, you know, a natural state of affairs, but because we've been dumbed down for so long and just, you know, kept in this kindergarten playpen with all these distractions and having inherited such dysfunctionality, just trying to figure out that we don't, you know, we're not supposed to be eating the stuff that's in our nappies is just, you know, it's taken a generation just to evolve to the, you know, just into some basic humanity. When you look at Hawking's scale of consciousness, his studies on that, you know, he clearly lets us know that most of humanity, the vast majority of humankind, is living under the level of 200, under the level of integrity, lower than integrity, let alone in the higher levels of consciousness. So we're really emerging from the dark ages still. And the only difference is that we now have the technology to, you know, create absolute misery in this world, not just in this world, but the world beyond now with all this subatomic manipulation. So we really need to be living from death within ourselves and living from a place within ourselves that's beyond all this. It's literally beyond it. It literally exists. Your real, true identity exists in a realm that is beyond the effect of all of this, all of these strange and extraordinary things that are going on. And you're being challenged to walk in the world like an angel, like a being of light. And it's not some wishy-washy, you know, floaty thing. It's, you have to get this stuff coming from deep within you. Breathe it into you and fill yourself up with it, and then use the energy to express your self according to your purpose and calling in life. And as you do that, you will meet who you're supposed to meet, attract the resources that you need, and get all the support and the circumstances and things. Life will respond to you in the most synchronistic way, because as the old world is crumbling and all of these old systems and of governments and control and manipulation, the ego-based structures, they're all going. And as that happens, something wonderful is being born simultaneously. And so that, in terms of pure energy and consciousness within us, we can harness that. We can live as the new upgraded version of ourselves. But just like Mike was saying, you know, this thing of detachment, which is, you know, a really easy thing to say, perhaps, it takes, you know, deep introspection and a literal reconfiguring of your consciousness. It requires exquisite sensitivity and attention to detail. And I'm really enjoying being down here in Bali, because the cultural attention to detail, they're all artists and absolutely meticulous. It's a Hindu culture. They do five offerings every single day. They're always, like, you know, going to temple and running around with flowers and putting little offerings here and little offerings there. There's little shrines everywhere you go. So even though I'm in the middle of this stinking city with a millions of scooters everywhere and millions of cars and millions of people just milling around, in a really compressed little area, there's just this underlying peace and goodness that just pervades the whole thing. So you can literally be, you know, step off the busiest, most toxic street into some tiny little store, you know, a tiny little cramped little thing with one woman in there, because she's been offering five times a day, and her heart is just being purified from the integrity and the sincerity of her devotions. You're in just this kind of like sparkly little peaceful, total little portal, this tiny little oasis, and you know, 3 feet away is just the most you know, discordant cacophony and toxic chaos. And that's the way this place is. And it just, it's such a teacher of how we can at any time, any place, anywhere, choose to just disconnect from this outer chaos and step within ourselves and just exist in, go to that holy place within us and offer our hearts in with so much integrity, and do a little cleaning in there with the forgiveness stuff. The tapping, the emotional freedom technique is wonderful for clearing the ego realm, the conscious realm, the personality realm. But these deeper realms need to be attended to through forgiveness, Ho'oponopono, which is a massive detail in the Sunpot program, and through prayer, ancestral prayer, so that we can actually clear the unconscious realms of the soul where all these mythological critical, really critical things, that we go into that unconscious realm as well with prayer to clear those archetypal, mythological and cosmological structures as well.
Yeah, we have Taylor on the call, I do believe.
Yay.
Yes, here I am, here I am.
Have you been listening to it? Have you been
indeed
listening to
it? Indeed I have, yep. Here in the fine city of Baltimore, where we have nothing but a lot of that going on. And, you know, it's been a real opportunity for me. I had some of the most profound experiences of really being able to be invincible that I think I've ever had in my life. And I've had some harrowing, you know, life-threatening experiences in my days. But of late, I would say I was subjected to the most extreme energies that I've ever experienced. Ever, and extreme on the likes of, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually abusive, but so intense, like that I've never knew even I could feel that, or let me put it this way, have that being directed to me individually, What happened, it's a lot about what you're saying, but I just want to underscore it. You know, sort of my initial reaction was to want to defend myself. You know, just kind of a basic animal survival instinct kicked in. It was like, whoa, I don't think so. This isn't going to happen to me. And anger and kind of rage and all those things you'd expect would happen if someone was you know, really coming at you full on with intent to harm. And what I discovered when I went there, you know, it just kind of happened instinctually. Like within 2 or 3 seconds, I saw. It was almost like I got to see it energetically. No, I did get to see it. It wasn't almost like that if I went to that place, instantly, it was creating it was almost like adding fuel to the fire, because if I reacted in the way that I was, you know, sort of being attacked, if I acted back in that same manner, I could see that it just created even more anger. And so I had just an opportunity to step back and stop. And all I heard in that second was, love conquers all. Love conquers all.
Hallelujah.
And I know, and I was, it was amazing because I had like this choice point. All this happened like at lightning speed. I'm slowing it down, but really. And then it was like, yeah, I mean, let's hold that. Let's just hold that. And I'm telling you, this was the most intense situation ever. And I just fell into this place of holding the vibration of love. And it wasn't even necessary love for this individual, love for the circumstance. It was just pure love. It didn't have to be identified to anything or anyone. It was just tapping into whatever that is that love is. And it was amazing because what I got to witness was the same amount of energy was still blasting at me full on. Unjustified, at the highest level of unjustified. And yet, when I had shifted into this place of love, what I saw was just by standing there and holding that no longer, not only could it not penetrate my field at all, but I noticed that it was as if it removed any energetic feedback whatsoever. And it was as if all the energy that they were putting out was immediately going back to them. And it was the worst kind of bullet. You know, if I'd had a gun, I probably would have used it, but I didn't. But what I saw was this is way better than a gun, you know, because it was what they were putting out coming back to them. And it was so powerful. And the whole thing, I could just stand there and watch it. It was like, at one after another, they just kept firing. And yet, in each instance, it was completely diffused and so powerful. And I had no idea that I could be in such peace, which is what you had mentioned earlier. So I just wanted to underscore, because I'm telling you, just 2 days ago, I had this experience of just being in this ridiculous peace. It was like I kept thinking, like, wow. I mean, I can't even believe how this is not affecting me at all. It was almost like I was in some other altered dimension of time and space, and like a bubble. And what I saw was this was how the worst kind of possible attack one could have, like, let's say, completely unjustified attack. You know, let's say, let's use Jesus Christ, for example. All right, here's a guy being wrongly crucified, nails pounded through his hands, and yet he can stand there or hang there, whatever you want to call it, and say, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And I had that experience. I had that level of just complete invincibility to all pain, all suffering, all the, like, the worst kind of injustices and maladies one could summon up, like the most evil of evilness. I couldn't see as anything other than love at all. I mean, it wasn't even possible to even, it was beyond compassion. It was beyond, all human reason, let's say. And it was the most powerful energetic experience I've ever had. And it changed my life forever, like ever since. This is what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to interrupt Nick. It was so easy. It was ridiculous. I mean, when I looked back, I'm like, wait a minute. That happened so easily. There was no effort at all. And there would have been so much more effort and pain and suffering had I proceeded along the lines of trying to defend myself and, you know, justify why I deserved to live and everything else. You know, it was like, that would never have gone well. I mean, there was just, it's not going to go well. And that was so powerful that it encouraged me to throw myself back into yet another life-threatening situation just to kind of test it out again. It's like, wow, like, you know, I always see, like, was it just that easy? Like, is it really that easy? And sure enough, the next day I went right back in there, right into the core of this ridiculous level of evil abuse and attacking, and it was even easier. It was just even easier. And that was so exciting. It's such great news because it validates everything we've been saying all along in the superhero training, but we're living in a time now where there's so much support for us to be who we truly are, for us to move into that space of the invincibility of love, unconditional love, without any condition at all. And that is the greatest gift we can give to the world. And I saw that in Baltimore with these serious gang leaders. I mean, these guys were like, you know, they've probably been killing people since they, you know, were five. You know, as kind of like, you know, most people play video games, they just kill people. And they would just put themselves, you know, right in front of the rioters in Baltimore and between the police line, which was, I mean, serious police line, and stand there and pray for peace. I mean, this isn't, you won't see any of this stuff on mainstream TV about really what's going on there. But what's going on in Baltimore is huge. It is so exciting because people are really getting like, what's going to turn the situation around is love, is peace, is holding a stand for that level of invincibility no matter what. And that's what the people are doing there. And they're doing it in a way that's so courageous and so inspiring that, you know, they're the real true superheroes there, and they're breeding that at a deep level in some of the darkest places, what had been before the darkest places of that city. And that's, you know, that's, to me, it's such a confirmation that, you know, like, sure, these institutions are crumbling, and it looks like they've got a stronghold still, or, you know, it looks like there's still a lot going on, but man, there isn't. You dig into those dark places and you're going to find people like these brothers, these vicious gang members praying. You know, there they are, you know. And so, yeah, I just want to say I have been renewed at a level that I wasn't even expecting and didn't know was possible. At the power of the human spirit, the power and the invincibility that we each have, if we just can go there, and how simple it is to go there. It really is so simple. It's just a shift. It's just a shift of intentionality. So, anyways, I just wanted to share that being here, down here in the heart of the heartland of America on the streets of Baltimore.
Well, thanks, Taylor. And yeah, big shout out to you, sister. You're so hardcore for being on the front line there. And it's just great. You know, that I remember the story from Hiroshima where they dropped the dreadful atomic bomb there and they burst it in the sky just above the ground and it went out in every direction on the directional explosion and just, you know, burned everything and destroyed everything except one building, seven blocks from the blast, epicenter of the blast, and it was a wooden abbey, and it was to Our Lady of Fatima, which is a, you know, manifestation of Mother Mary, the Divine Mother, and they were, nuns in there at this place, and it was totally protected by the grace. In Vietnam and the Vietnam War, even though that war was, you know, for political reasons and, utterly and totally without any justification, genuine cause. There were a very famous platoon in there that never lost a man the whole of the war. It was absolutely unheard of, unparalleled situation. And they were reading Psalm 91 every single day. I personally have been here and during this CERN week over here in Bali. I arrived and from Australia, and you know, as always, you know, air travel kind of really, you know, jangles me around, and it takes me a couple of days just to, you know, really, you know, get to grips with the energies, the new energies that I'm having to deal with, especially when it's in a city. And you know, I'm extremely sensitive and spiritually aware, have been since I was a very young child. And so I was, you know, for several nights when I first got here, was waking up in the middle of the night and seeing all kinds of you know, dark spiritual beings, some, you know, strange characters and creatures and entities in this place that I was staying here. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of darkness here in this place, these Asian countries, where it isn't all, you know, sweetness and light. There's you know, there's a tremendous amount of demonic stuff going on. The Balinese have you know, huge rituals and parades of the most dreadfully shocking things that they make, you know, that are to, you know, to honor these other forces that they know exist, or that they perceive as existing in their culture, and then there's nothing nice about them whatsoever. So a few of these things were showing up in my room, and I was jolted up in the early hours in the middle of the night and having to deal with these things. Now, what I decided to do was, I've just been finishing ghostwriting a book for a friend of mine, and he mentioned how when his father died, when his father was dying, he would read Psalm 23 to his father. And so I started reciting Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I know that psalm off by heart. So I started doing that before I went to sleep. And of course, you know, having really, 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 really super, super, super peaceful nights. So it's very important that we use these tools to which we are predisposed, to which we are, you know, which we know is our truth, which we resonate with most strongly, where our, you know, strongest and deepest and oldest samskaras, these things that really run deep in the soul, that define our kind of spiritual character in this world. It's very important that we start using those tools and really feeling protected and solid, so we can walk around in any situation and feel that we are accessing this thing. Because, you know, Taylor and I are both, you know, relating similar experiences of the same time, even though the circumstances are completely different. But this incredible kind of oppressive energy that is on absolute go mode right now to create as much chaos as possible. It is, you know, literally a battle for our soul, and our soul is full of what we think and what we feel. So if our thoughts and our feelings are turned within ourselves to this divinity within us, and we're anchored in the epicenter of this vortex of infinite possibility that we are, we're anchored in the epicenter of that with our nizche, with our burning faith, then we can navigate these extreme fluctuations and upheavals masterfully. And this, of course, is an initiation. We're being initiated here. And just, you know, like I've written in all kinds of places, certainly in Amazing Grace, is that it's in order for us to demonstrate the greatness of the love that we are, we need you know, basically something unforgivable to forgive. We need an unforgivable wound to heal. And in order to demonstrate the greatness and the brilliance of the light we are, we need an equivalent amount of darkness in which to shine. You see, so these extremes are polarizing now, inviting us and absolutely demanding of us, you know, with no choice whatsoever, to raise our game and to step into this full power. And you must absolutely be anchored in this certainty, not belief, absolute certainty, this knowingness that exists within you already. The seed knows what it is. Even though it doesn't look like a big fat tree, the knowingness is in the seed, and that exists in the seed of your soul, the certainty of who you are. So if you're coming from that place, if you're living from that place, if you're living from that depth, you've found the ground of your being, then it's a lot easier to exist from there and express from that state of consciousness.
That's what it's all about. Come back to that space. So we have time for some questions. We have some wonderful superheroes with us today. So I'm going to invite you to press your buttons on your telephone. Star 2 will raise your hand and we'll be able to talk to you. So press star 2. And we'd love to hear any questions you have for any of us, any experiences, any latest developments. You may or may not have been on the front lines of Baltimore and having life-changing experiences like Taylor, but that's not the point. Any question, big or small, we're here for you. And by the way, Taylor, lovely to hear your that experience. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. The magic, yeah. I mean, it just goes to show all the years of work that you've been doing on yourself. When it comes down to it, you can snap into that space in seconds. So, well done, Taylor. So no one is raising their hand. So I'm just going to unmute somebody. We got a sister here from. I think she's in Greece. We'd love to hear from her. Lydia. Hello, Lydia. We can hear you.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, aloha, Fiji.
Aloha, Olivia.
It's nice to be here with you and hear you guys live. It brings me happiness.
Yay. Good. She's Lydia's in Greece. It's 2:00 in the morning or something over there. Is that right?
It's actually 3 now.
3? Well, look at that. Real superhero.
Well, I've been thinking that generally, the environment that I'm living in right now in Greece is under a lot of attack in many different levels. And there are many games also played about the country and what lies, let's say, behind the country itself. So for me, it's a challenge, like, to be here and to live in this country and do the best I can for everyone and for myself. And at the moment, kind of stay in my own bubble in a way that I don't get sucked by this vortex that is kind of dragging people down with a crisis and a lot of negativity. So I do a lot of work on that, but sometimes practically, it's kind of hard. And what I'm missing more is people with the same level of resonance, that when I am with people like that and when I am in environments, and I've been in a few quite of them, most abroad, like in communities and spiritual communities mostly, it's completely different. And I think this this network of people that with the same resonance is really important for everyone. And I try to look for it wherever possible. So I'm happy to be here again.
Well, you're in the right place for that here. That's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on what you just said because I think it's key, especially now. You know, while there is some real juice and union and communion that takes place when we're with our brothers and sisters and in evolved, enlightened communities where we feel known and loved and appreciated, the real mission for superheroes and leaders of light is to get out there and to take your light to places where there isn't any or where you can bring, you know, like attracts like, where you can bring even more light. And I encourage, you know, we're all looking to have that community where, you know, we can just be, create a little heaven on earth and have the best times ever. And it's important to have that to kind of come back to and reconfigure ourselves and nurture and care for ourselves. And certainly we can create that in both community and just in nature. But I really encouraged all of us, especially superheroes, to be willing to create that newly in places that don't look anything like where you'd normally want to hang out or people that you'd normally want to hang out with. And that's the real mission. And it's one that I'm discovering has, it's real, so much energy. There's so much energy there and so much soul and appreciation in incredible levels. And it can be found in the darkest, most ominous sort of like, yeah, that's, doesn't look like a place I'd want to hang out kind of place. And especially where you are, you know, the universe puts us in the places it puts us in intentionally. You know, we aren't moved about capriciously. It's all, we're where we are because of the contribution we can make. And I know that you're there in particular because of what your love and your light and your special gifts have to offer that region. And I encourage you, instead of seeking out people that know you, I mean, hey, yeah, you're here and you got this container, which is the best ever, but to get out there, and I'm sure you already are, but I just want to underscore how key it is for us to get out into these communities that really do need light and love and what we have, the gifts we have to offer. It's so essential right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you say. For me, it's like it's a subtle harmony between how much I'm out there and how much I can expose myself to the environment the way it is right now and give the best that I can, and then to kind of retreat in that energy so I can be rejuvenated and find myself again if there is something that I've lost throughout this exposure, because it's a difficult environment, I can tell you. Like, you just go out with a few people and try to just show them to see things with a different aspect, and people are so miserable. It's really like everyone is really in a, like looking at walls all around, like there is a dead end. There are very few people that can see this just as a real transformation and just actually a way for things to get better. So when you're constantly bombarded with this energy, sometimes it's, and especially if it's involving your family too, that sometimes it's a big challenge. So, but I definitely agree with all what you say. And I also have a question, and I don't know what your experience does, I mean, all of you. Sometimes there are people in our around our lives that we decide not to be with them anymore, like friends or whatever, because they are constantly in that vibration that we cannot stand anymore. They become toxic. And I've been wondering lately, maybe sometimes we should stay because there is a lesson to learn. And I wanted to ask what your experience is on whether to choose, you know, if you stay and this is actually a lesson, or if you cannot be in that vibration anymore with this person and decide to just stop this, whatever relationship that is. So that is the question that I have myself.
Yeah, it's a very important question. I think it's very personal, and it depends on the situation. So I don't think there's one answer to this. But my personal attitude to relationships and dealing with things is to be radically honest, radical honesty, you know. And most people don't like that because, you know, that's just all pretense and pampering egos and all this going on in most relationships. But if you can just be radically honest about what's true for you, you know, and share the good about the person, what you love about them, and also things that are not working for you, and what you want, and just share whatever it is that you need to share. Because if it's in, and if this stuff is going on, everyone feels it, and everyone knows it. It's just it's not spoken about because we're energy beings, so we pick up energy. So whatever's going on is going on anyway. So when you share it out loud and you just have those hard conversations, which can, you know, sometimes be explosive, if the relationship is meant to survive, then it will. And it'll probably be really good. And it'll be a huge liberation for everyone. And if it isn't, then that's fair enough as well. You know, some relationships are supposed to be shorter, and some of them are meant to be longer. You know, it's just the way it is. But I think starting with radical honesty, because oftentimes we don't realize what we're doing in relationships to other people, and we might blame them for everything, and it's actually stuff we're doing. So until you actually have these hard conversations, it's quite hard to know what's really going on. So I recommend that you just, anyone who's close to you, anyone who you're going to be spending significant time with, have regular, if necessary, radically honest, super hardcore conversations about whatever it is. Everyone feels hugely liberated afterwards. You know, it might be a bit of upset sometimes, might be a bit of drama initially, but afterwards, just such wonderful liberation. And then you can tell what's going on, you know. And, you know, basically, as far as I'm concerned, the relationships that are supposed to stay, no matter what I say, they'll stay. You know, no matter what I do, they'll stay. But relationships that are supposed to fall apart, then they will, and it won't take much for them to disappear. So don't be afraid of being radically honest.
Thank you. Well,
you're welcome.
I must admit that this is not my easiest area, because I have a hard time with conflict. I get really sensitive, and sometimes I can even feel how the other person is going to feel when I'm going to say something, and I end up not saying it, and that makes things a bit complicated. But yeah, I have that message of being more honest and more clear, and, you know, overcoming this. I have had that message from, you know, many aspects of my life, and you're just adding onto it. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, there's ways of doing it. I'm sure Taylor and Nick can give their feedback on this. There's ways of making it less stressful to do, but at the end of the day, you've got to be radically honest. Everything needs to be out in the open, basically.
I can give you a few tips One of the things is, you know, just creating a space for communication. And I like to get the candle and have something like a little talking stone. So who's ever talking is holding the stone. And, you know, you got to ask. I mean, you know, conscious communication, it's not easy when emotions are involved and when wounds have been exposed. Because basically, you know, what's wounded is a, you know, it's a wounded child. So you can have, you know, 2 7-year-olds in, you know, 30-year-old or 40-year-old bodies or whatever, you know, talking to each other when wounds are triggered. And it can just, you know, turn into a, you know, maybe one's attacking and one is, you know, shriveled up in fear. Because, you know, there's a reason why you cringe at, you know, so-called conflict. It doesn't have to go into conflict. You know, radical truth isn't easy. The Buddhists have a beautiful saying, the truth without compassion is brutality and worse than a lie. Truth without compassion is brutality and worse than a lie. So what we need to do when we, you know, when we're actually communicating our emotional process, there are lumps of wound coming up. You know, it's like detoxing. You know, it's like taking, you know, drinking a gallon of wheatgrass or something. You are going to be on the toilet shitting out some unpleasant stuff. It's the same thing. The love is the wheatgrass shot, and the truth is the movement of the you know, of that love through you. And so as you communicate this, it's like you're going to, some of the stuff that's going to be coming out is your wound. And so what we have to do is hold space for each other and just look at each other with compassion. And this can be, you know, a commitment to witnessing the other person talking, listening, while you're saying over and over and over to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's ho'oponopono. That's the Hawaiians. Because the Hawaiians are basically such a violent culture, they have such, and their emotional age is very young. They're like a, you know, a bunch of high school kids emotionally, even if they, you know, might be massive and, you know, really strong physically or whatever. They have a very immature emotional body, and so they are always getting into little frictions, fights, and issues within the family, and the clans. And so these, you know, this energy would build up, and they, you know, devise this thing called ho'oponopono, which is basically conflict resolution, and would just, they needed it in order to just maintain the flow of the aloha spirit, so that the thing is actually flowing, and people aren't, you know, murdering each other, or, you know, at least psychically. Yeah. So what we need to do is we need to sit down, put a candle in the front, in between you, have a stone or a feather or a stick or something, which means whoever's holding this is talking. The other person is listening and can't interrupt. So you have to listen. Now, as a woman, your main need is to express yourself emotionally and to be heard. And through the process of expressing yourself emotionally, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's difficult for you to do it, even if it's frightening, even if it's intimidating and it's going to trigger conflict, you have to go through this process and say what needs to be said, and you need to listen to what you're saying to feel the consequences of that. The man has to hold space for you and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, silently to himself inside, commit to having a go at that, even if he's been triggered and stuff, and just hold space and let you say what you need to say. And then you can put the stone down and he can take the stone or the feather or the stick or whatever it is, and now it's his turn, it's your turn to listen. And you say in your heart of hearts, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And this works absolute wonders. It works absolute wonders. Now, this process is absolutely critical. It's essential that we go through this process, and we create a container that has this compassion infused into it, i.e. the Ho'oponopono, and whatever comes up, when it goes into that container of compassion, the truth is, it can be medicine rather than brutality, and, you know, we just start wounding each other by having a compassionless, so-called, you know, truthful conversation. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course. It's just for
me.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah.
You want to basically ask permission. I mean, that makes it a lot easier. When you say to someone, are you willing, you know, is it okay if you first have this conversation? And is it all right for you if I just share what is true for me? If someone says yes to that request, to that, then you kind of have got their permission to say whatever you need to say. Yeah. And but if you don't get that permission, then it's a problem. But at the same time, if someone's in a situation where they're not willing to listen to anything you say at all, and you're not willing to hold the special stone and do this properly, then I still think you've got to do it anyway, because if you don't, then how is it ever going to change? I mean, you can always do the inner work and leave it alone, but that's why this is all very personal, because each situation is slightly different. But the intention to just be clear and pure changes a lot of things, just that intention.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I've had plenty of practice. Well, here's my suggestion, Olivia. First of all, just to answer your question, you can have both, and in every case, without a question, you do have both. And by both, I mean, you have, if you're in a relationship with someone, you have gotten gifts from them, and you know, no matter what. And so, now are the gifts over? Is the time up? Is it time to move on? That's a different question altogether. But if you're out of the billions of people on the planet, if you're in the kind of a level of a relationship that you'd even be asking this question, but you can be assured you've gotten many, many gifts, and I'm sure you know that, and you could probably, if asked, you could probably list them out, you know, on a couple sheets of paper. So now the question is, so that's not the question, but now the question is it time to go or not? I mean, that's what I hear you asking. Is that accurate?
Not actually. I mean, there are one or two people in my life that are good friends, and I have that pattern of a few people being really explosive. Like, I can't really talk to them because one phrase and there is a lot of aggression, and this is something my soul cannot stand. I've had that pattern from my father all my life, and that's a wound for me. So I'm asking myself, should I stay and go through it because it's the lesson that I have to go through, or is it too much toxicity for me, and this is not a person actually I want to hang around? You know, even if I love them and they're strong, I have appreciation and respect and shared moments and a lot of things that are linking us, but there is some level of toxicity and aggression and violence that my soul can just not withstand. So
I understand. So I got it now. I would suggest this. I would suggest that you see this as an opportunity, these people as an opportunity, especially because they trigger you so much. And before extracting yourself from that environment, to make peace with it. Because probably what you can count on is that they'll keep popping up. You know what I mean? Like, you could extract yourself from this little handful, and then voila, in another country on the other side of the globe, what the heck, here we are again, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So my suggestion is this. it's perfect. You know, it's the perfect opportunity for you to recognize that, you know, by God, I guess, you know, the universe has placed these unruly individuals in my life such that I can achieve mastery with them and be able to be at peace with the triggers that they, you know, are offering me. And it's similar to that little story I shared there a little while ago about Baltimore, that because these were some clear, deep triggers I had of, you know, who knows how many lifetimes back, of being violated, of being unjustly, you know, probably tortured, maimed, and burned at the stake. You know what I mean? These weren't, like, present. These were, like, pretty deep, you know? And a lot of women carry that, by the way. And so it's our task now, more than ever, for us to really fully move into our power, to come to terms with that and to be able to make peace with it and be able to stand fully in the face of any sort of what would appear as aggression, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, negative, you call it whatever you want, and be empowered, like completely and totally empowered and in love. So I encourage you to use the opportunity that these people are providing in your life, because it's no accident they're there. You could be surrounded with anybody, but here you are, you know. And achieve mastery with this. And this doesn't need to take, by the way, you know, weeks and months and years or any of that junk. Maybe there was a time when that was the case, but we're not living in that time anymore. We can really achieve this instantaneously if we set our intention to do such. And I encourage you to do that. Like, really welcome it. Throw yourself in the fire. But throw yourself in the fire with the intention that, you know, love will conquer all. You're going to hold that steady vibration no matter what. No matter what. No matter how it looks or gets or how uncomfortable it is, any of that stuff. And what you'll discover is there's the least discomfort by doing that. There's the least discomfort. And why you've experienced discomfort in the past has been because you've done everything but that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's a huge gift. And it'll be a gift that you'll thank them over and over for giving you.
Oh, I'm already doing that, because I have learned a lot from this particular relationship, that friendship, actually. But my issue is that I want to express some things, and I feel that with this constant, you know, rage or whatever, you can't really talk. And this is a problem, obviously, that other people have with her. It's not just me. But for me, I've tried so many times, and I feel like I can't tolerate it. So I'm at the limit of, I have already tried, and then I'm asking, should it just go and do that and, you know, be in love with this person and send them love just from far, or just continue and see if I can go deeper with my lesson. So, yes, but I understand what you say.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it may be that there is no further to go. It's just doing what you're doing and doing more of it. I mean, but I think the key is, if you have an attachment to an outcome, that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to have no attachment to an outcome. You have to have no... you can't want to change what's over there at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you can let that go, you know, it's kind of like what Michael was saying in the very beginning of the call. You have to just let go of any desired outcome there whatsoever. That, you know, that you're wanting her to be less, you know, upset, or, you know, whatever it is. Just have no attachment to an outcome at all, other than you just being in your truth and being in love and watching what happens. But as long as you have some attachment to an outcome, you'll probably get, it's kind of like you've got an agenda then, and you aren't just standing in love, because love doesn't have any attachments and or to any outcome at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just pure love. There is no like, well, it'd be really nice if it went this way or that way or the other. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, and I don't know, maybe you've done that also, but that's what I would suggest, like, that it's actually 100% okay with you if they're exactly the way they are, completely and totally and perfectly just like that.
Okay.
And that's
yeah.
that's ultimate power there, is for you not to have any attachment at all, that they shift or change or become nicer or you want anything like that at all. Because in doing that, you'll allow for the biggest opportunity for them energetically to shift.
Yeah.
I think, yeah,
tell
I think
yourself,
you call it, sorry, mate.
Just wanted to say just one thing, is that there's an expression that I find extremely powerful. It's basically, I am surrendered to the highest good for all. I am surrendered to the highest good for all. And literally, this is life-changing. I use this all the time. Like, I might want something to happen. Is this thing going to happen? Is this thing going to happen? And I've got slight anxiety about something. And then I just say to myself, in deep, deep, deep in my heart, really and honestly, I am surrendered. I'm genuinely surrendered to the highest good for all. And I don't know what it is. It might be this thing happens. It might be something else happens. If it's not meant to happen, then that's fair enough. And I just feel so liberated from practically everything because of this one practice. So if this person in your case doesn't change at all, then fair enough. And if they do change, then that's great as well. But you're just interested in what's the highest for everyone.
Yeah, and in holding that, you can't hold anything higher than that. That is the highest intention to hold. But, you know, my version of it is that what I'm intending that the highest good for all concerned happen with ease and joy. Ease and joy. And that's just how I go through my whole life. Every situation, like, the rougher it looks, the quicker I switch to that. Because, you know, God works in mysterious ways. Who are we to say it should go this way or that? I've learned that very quickly. Like, you know what? Like, I know this seems like the right outcome here, but I've seen enough things go in the exact opposite way. But yet, you know, with, like, you know, they say truth is stranger than fiction with these incredible outcomes. And it's like,
yeah.
Wow, I couldn't have made that up if I had tried. Wow, but that's the best thing ever, you know. So by holding that intention, you're allowing for the biggest possible opening to occur. And, of course, you're asking, you know, because why not? You can ask whatever you want. I like to throw in the ease and joy personally, just because I like to have things be as enjoyable as comfortable as possible. But, you know, who knows how it's going to come down. But, yeah, I think that's just a critical piece there.
Well, I can tell. Ease and joy. It just adds a little bit of ease. And why not have a bit of ease and grace, ease and
why
joy?
Why not?
While you're,
I mean, what
yeah,
we're
exactly.
asking.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah exactly. Rather
receive.
Than I'm surrendered to the highest good of all with serious pain, if you don't mind. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go through this. The mill. I mean, no, I like to have it, like, if I can, you know, take it on a nice little comfortable air cushion with delicious food and wonderful vistas and, you know, fantastic best day ever, I'll take that too, you know.
And I think it's also important to qualify that, you know, that all the things that we're suggesting that you should do, you have to be capable of doing that. And this, you know, being, you know, basically embodying perfect love, which is the only thing that casts out all fear. We are, that is our true inner nature. That's who we are. And so all we have to do is remove, dissolve, you know, through forgiveness, using the tools on superhero training, identify with our true inner nature. So it all comes back to this inner work, inner work, inner work. The ego is obsessed with this little story, this little drama, and just keep spinning
around in its own head, running the same tape over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, feeding itself with low vibe emotion. And that's what it, you know, that's what it feeds, literally that's its food. So what we need to do is to shift into higher states of consciousness and to enjoy the beingness there and do everything that we can within ourselves just to self regulate a little bit so that we stay in higher states of consciousness when any thoughts or feelings interfere with that. And that's using the tools that we share, such as Ho'oponopono, the forgiveness prayers, meditation, the breathing, the tapping, and all of this stuff, you see. All of these things, the feelings that you feel, the fears, the woundedness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's in you. You're feeling it. It's just the circumstances is triggering your awareness on it, of it. We can't say it's actually causing it. And this, we could have a whole call on just this one single subject. Yeah, the ego likes this linear thing that there's something out there causing that. But in actual fact, these are soul wounds. Everything's been purified that's in the soul. So these things are deep. So we need to go in there and clean our own house out. And this thing about love, you know, having no expectations or attachment to outcome, it's absolutely true. But it's not something you can pretend, you know, or, you know, you can't fake it till you make it, that kind of love. You actually either are able to do it because you've cleaned out, you're not identifying anymore with this other stuff that isn't you, or you can't. You know, it's as simple as that. So just keep dissolving your the stuff within you, using the tools, breathing faith. Love times faith equals grace. You need grace to empower you and to give you the confidence to dissolve the negativity and to bring a miraculous resolution to this situation, which might seem impossible. A lot of people are stuck in impossible, seemingly impossible situations right now, and we just have to do the best with what we can. It's a time of destruction. It's a Shiva time, and things are being destroyed, and a lot of those things that are being destroyed are actually within us. And so, you know, there's no easy way out of this, but there is a simple path that is true and will, allow you to navigate what you need to navigate masterfully, rather than, you know, falling off the path and slipping into these old patterns that are, you know, you probably inherited from your mother and father or whatever, and and repeating the same old miserable low vibe nonsense. So just do your best, and you've got plenty of support from us and the whole superhero thing, and just use this as motivation. And the same as everyone that's listening, whatever particular scenario you were in, you know, we had a particularly sobering call, and it was quite poignant, and no one, you know, stuck their hand up like, I'm not saying anything, you know, in this thing, and you had to be like plucked out. So, these are real times. It's time to get real. Yeah, it's like stand up and be counted. And it's all about, you know, demonstrating it, walking the walk. And, of course, because it is a mystery, love is a mystery that's being revealed in us. It's not something that we know particularly anything about. It's something that's revealed in us as we do the things to dissolve and transmute everything that's preventing that revelation.
All right. So well done, Lydia. Much love and blessings to you. And let us know how it goes, you know, with your situation that you're dealing with. This is an opportunity here for you to have a profound upgrade in your life, because if you do this, what we're sharing with you, then it applies to everything. You see, that's the power of these teachings, that when you learn it on one context, you can then apply it to everything else in your life. So, yeah. Yeah.
I can see that. I can see the hologram in the life that we live here. Is you start with one, and then just fractally everything else gets in the domino effect. So definitely, I need to build more inner strength to be able to withstand some situations and, you know, just express myself and stay in my own energy without getting too much involved in other people's energy. That's a challenge that I have. And I feel that many of these tools just add to that building of inner strength. And I'm going deeper into it as to why I have this, and I'm trying to figure out even from my past. So it's all coming out, and I feel deep transformation the last few months with many things. So I'm grateful for that. I'm very grateful.
I wouldn't worry too much about why things are happening, actually. You can spin out about that stuff because you might never come to the reason, you know. But just go beyond it, you know. Do you understand that? Yeah, the word "why" has potentially extreme danger connected to it because it can spin out. The amount of people I've had to coach out of this, it's ridiculous. People come to me all the time saying, "Why isn't this working? Why isn't this working? Why isn't this working?" And I tell them that the reason it isn't working is because they keep asking, why isn't it working? And if we keep thinking about why things are not working out, we actually end up with a bunch of reasons why it isn't working out, which reinforces that it doesn't work out. So be careful about trying to figure everything out in your head too much, because some of these things you're never going to know. But you can transform them without knowing.
No, I understand what you say, but the way I meant it was like, for example, I'm trying to deeply understand why I chose to have a father that has all this archetype of, you know, aggression and violence, and this is something that is too much for me and I can't withstand it. So I know there is a reason why I chose him, and through that I'm learning. And the more I'm accepting that, then the more I'm able to work with it. That kind of why. That's what I kind of meant with why. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. You might want to rephrase the question, how is this serving me? Why did I create this for my benefit?
Yes, exactly.
That's a kind of cleaner. Then you end up with a transformation and a shift pretty quickly. So, yeah, good for you.
Thank you. That's a good approach.
Yeah, thanks for, you know, jumping up and sharing when you were activated there from Michael. We've found this to be a very effective way now to choose our questions rather than waiting for them to come to us. So thank you for jumping in there at 2 in the morning or whatever it is there.
Yeah, I thought 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, we've got to choose her at 3:30 in the morning, you know, so fantastic. Well, keep us informed in what's going on, and all these life puts us in strange situations to help us, so
yeah.
You know, it's all good. It's all good. We don't get more than we can handle.
Yes. I truly believe that. Thank you very much for allowing me to be here. And much love from Greece. And big hug. Really big hug to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Big hugs to you. And stay in touch.
I will. Have a good night, everyone. Blessings.
Blessings.
Ah, wonderful. It's such a joy to be connecting with people all over the world. You know, I think Greece is, you know, probably about as far away as from where I am as you could possibly get, actually. So, do we have anyone else who is willing and happy to ask a question? Because otherwise we will unmute somebody. We haven't got that much time left, but I'll put it out there for anyone who'd love to share something. Look at that. Daryl is on it. Aloha, Daryl. How's it going?
Aloha, Brother Michael. How are you?
It's fantastic. How's it going? We chatted a while back, and what's the latest?
Yes, I remember. I think maybe it was two calls ago, or maybe a call ago. I had a little bit of trouble getting on the call, and then I got cut off again. I think it's going really well. I'm a bit tired, but I've been kind of going through an emotional roller coaster lately, and what's really been kind of like the reset button for me is simplifying things and asking myself what's really important here, what does really matter, and I think what I'm trying to practice is returning back to zero and detaching and letting go, because I feel I'm at the point or at the stage of my evolution where I'm seeking liberation and freedom to express myself and a lot of clearing out of old energies and old emotions that suddenly they just pop up. I'm talking randomly to a person and all of a sudden I bring up another person's name, like I'm talking to them. So I feel like in my brain, there's the water level or something. I don't know. It's like it's coming back up again. Like things that are previously subconscious or unconscious are becoming conscious, and it's happening very quickly. And for me, what is essential right now is acknowledging and releasing all these energies coming up very quickly. And I think what Nick Good said about Qigong, and from what I've seen from the videos about moving the energy, I think right now very important for me is practicing how to deal with energies when they come up, because in the past, a lot of times, I've noticed that it's quite overwhelming, and I somehow surrender, and I just get swept away like a current or like a wave. I just get swept away by it. And right now, I kind of want to learn how to move them in the most productive way possible. And I'm still at a very uncertain place in my life right now. I still don't have, let's say, a stable income. I'm at a point right now in my personal relationship as well where I'm considering what the previous caller's questions was about if I should stay or if I should go. Is there something I can learn from this? And so there's a lot of choice points, I think Taylor Call mentioned it was called, and they seem like they have huge impacts if I either go left or right. And it's quite overwhelming sometimes, and I think if I should have a question right now, the question would be, how can I best manage my energies or my emotions when they come up so I can return back to a non-stressed state or a peaceful state, and from that point on I can make a wise choice or decision?
Well, let me just I just want to jump in and to this last little thing you said about you're not, you know, you don't want to make the wrong choice. Because I think that's worth underscoring. Because we all may have that concern, you know, in choosing things. And there's a lot of choices that we're being presented with these days. Just day-to-day things, you know, really. But from my perspective, and in every session I've ever done, really, what I've observed is it's impossible to make the wrong choice. It's not even possible. And that's good news, because that takes away a big chunk of concern if you don't have to worry about that anymore. And the universe is just really, you can count on, if you take a certain path that maybe perhaps looks like, whoa, what was I doing? How was I thinking this? Of self-correcting. You know, it's like all you have to do is kind of look at nature. Like if a stream is flowing downstream and someone throws a log in it, by gosh, it'll just go around it in whatever way it does. It's going to reach its ultimate destination. And our lives really are like that. We may take these little side trips here or there, and they look like, what the heck? Like me, for example, right now, I keep thinking, wait a minute. What am I doing in Baltimore? Yeah, before that, it was like, what am I doing here? And yet, you know, at some point, you know, usually when we look backwards, we can see the beauty in everything. So I just want to assure you, you can rest assured that there won't be any mistakes or wrong paths, most likely for you. You're a conscious being. And while you may have uncertainty about it, you know, that's fine. I mean, I pretty much lived my whole life like that, not knowing. But as long as you're trusting that you're following your divine flow and path, you will be cared for. You know, it's all in God's hands, sort of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Daryl? Yeah. And that's important to come to that space, because often we don't know what to do. We really don't. Like, if we had to try to figure it out consciously or in a linear mind, we'd be bankrupt, frankly. And, you know, the thing I hear over and over again in sessions with people is, you know, if it doesn't make sense, you're probably in the right place. And so what the heck are you supposed to do with that? You know, that's, you know. But if where we're living from now more than ever is our heart, you know, the heart acts in unusual ways, in capricious, you know, kind of nonlinear paths that may not make any sense at all whatsoever. And so I just want to say that to give you a little more space around the, you know, decisions and choices, and to assure you, you will not make a wrong choice. And I know that's, you know, maybe a challenge for the mind to wrap itself around, but it might at least give you more freedom, you know.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you said, which I think is really so key, is, you know, discovering strategies for how to get yourself into a harmonized space. And I loved what you said, because once you're in a harmonized space, you'll make the right choice or decision. You'll know which way to gravitate. That is so critical right now. And because things are, you know, coming at us so fast, like, we better have some good strategies for being able to get into a high harmonized space quickly. So we can make the clearest choice. And so that's just a darn good thing to discover for yourself. And I do think it is an individual, it is an, you know, while I can say what mine are, you know, or Nick or Michael might say what his are, I do think each individual has to discover that for themselves. But just as an overview, what I have found through the years seems to work across the board for everyone to shift quickly out of a contracted or state of disharmony is physical movement. It does seem to, or like jumping into a body of water, you know, like submerging yourself. And usually the colder the better. Yeah, that works pretty fast. But I find that physical movement really will support the quickest shifts. And so then it just becomes what physical movement is the best for you. And that, again, more is, you know, everyone's different. I mean, you know, for Nick, it's Angel Qigong. And, you know, you've got to discover for yourself what that is. And you know, maybe it's just taking a walk. I mean, who knows, you know. But I have found that and of course, and then also breathing, you know, can quickly shift one into more harmonized space. But I think discovering whatever those strategies are for you is critical, and to keep refining them. Because what happens if, like, well, there is no body of water, or there is no bathtub, you know, so just to keep refining, like, I've got to come up with a whole new toolbox, you know, for when I'm traveling and there ain't no bathtub around, or, you know, all the things that my go-tos, you know, are gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's good to discover for yourself. What other little things can you do? You know, I've discovered these little gummy, they're like little gummy bear rescue remedy things. Someone gave me one the other day. It was like, oh, well, this could be interesting. This might be a quick go-to, you know, to kind of calm the whole energy field, you know, flower essences, you know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Those are the little tools we want to have in our superhero toolboxes to pull out. Because God knows that we're, you know, everything's coming at us at beyond light speed now. So I appreciate you saying both of those things, because I think, you know, we can all benefit from being in those inquiries.
Yeah, and it's great to come up with your own skills, because everyone's individual, you know, so nothing really works for everyone. Same with, you know, food. You know, that's why there's all these books about the still perfect diet, and everyone disagrees. You know, some people say you should eat only fat, loads of fat. Some other people say you should never have any fat. Some people say it should all be fruit and carbs. And other people say it should all be, you know, protein and, you know, only raw meat or whatever, you know. So there's, you know, so you've got to figure this stuff out partly for yourself by experimenting with the things that you learn. So we've shared with you, you know, probably about 20 or 30 different methods we've used in superhero training and on these calls. And, you know, that's, you know, some of those might be awesome for you. There's bound to be some gold for you in there, you know. But you've got to experiment with it for yourself and see which things do the trick. And I'll just share one thing that I've been finding really does the job for me is I've realized that the reason that I'm, if I'm feeling bad about something, the real reason isn't because of, you know, because I'm, it isn't what it appears to be. The real reason is that the ego is addicted to suffering. There's a part of me that is a suffering addict, is addicted to suffering and wants to suffer, right? And what I've started doing is, as soon as I feel down or, you know, stressed or whatever it is, I say to myself, I am addicted to suffering and I love my misery. I'm addicted to suffering and I love my misery. Or literally, I just say it out loud once or twice, I feel profoundly liberated in a matter of about 1 second, because I've busted the core of the ego and it can't carry on anymore. And if that doesn't do the job, then it has to be hand in the air, I'm addicted to suffering and I love my misery. or hand in the air and on one leg jumping up and down. I'm addicted to suffering and love my misery. I've got lots of people doing this, jumping up and down with their hand in the air, saying I'm addicted to suffering and I love my misery. And they are experiencing profound breakthroughs in their life because they've busted the essence of the problem. And so, seriously, you might want to start with jumping up and down on one leg, hand in the air. I am addicted to suffering and I love my misery. And as much as that's, in a sense, not a true statement, because you're a spiritual being and you're an eternal being of light and you don't really need to suffer, the part of us that's hiding away in the darkness, pretending that everything's all right and it isn't, it brings it out into the light and just shines a bright light on it and it just dissolves. And you can, you change the word slightly if you want, you know, it's up to you how you reframe this. You can say it in another language, you can change misery to something else, it doesn't matter. But just call it out. And then you'll come into a space of where you actually are dealing with the actual situation, the real situation, which might be, I need to eat something, I need to drink something, or I just need to breathe, you know. But we normally can't get to the real situation when the ego is dominating and we're spinning. So try that one out, and I think if nothing else, you'll find yourself pleasantly amused and laughing at how ridiculous life is.
Yeah, it's that's true. Sometimes I feel we're like crazy chickens running around, just trying to like survive in society, and creating the time and the space, and just really being in stillness and in peace, even for half an hour. And just cool off and get grounded and just listening. And that's really been helpful. And also simply stating what I'm feeling and then letting it go has also helped a lot. So.
Yeah,
it's the consistent practice, because that's one of the challenges I've had. It's being consistent, because it's you got to be on your A game.
Exactly what I've heard before. You just really got to be on it, because it's coming at you, and it's coming it's coming quite intensely. At least that's how I felt.
It's very intense times. So we have to be on our game, but you have to also realize the part of you that doesn't want to be on the game and call it out. So I want to be on my A game, and I also want to be sort of lounging around watching TV all day, you know. And there's two different sides to most of us. And I don't know many people who are like, there's one version of them and that's all that you get. There's normally, what I sometimes call a ship of fools inside our head. And there's different identities going on, and they all have different needs and different personalities. An extreme version of this is what's called multiple personality disorder. But I think we all have it on a smaller scale. And so one part of you wants to be on your A game, and another part of you wants to be doing something totally different. So we have to come to terms with these various parts of us. And realize that this is the reason this is sometimes complicated is because there's more than one intention inside of us, and you have to find the pure intention that is really where you're coming from and discern the rest of the things that are there. And along with this, Taylor's always been on about this to me. Taylor, you'd be quite happy with me, actually, right? I've spent the last, this is now day four, space clearing, extreme. I must have got rid of 80% of my belongings, 80%. I highly recommend, Daryl, that you go through every single physical item you own in your entire life, and you hold it in your hand, and you ask the question, does this spark joy? Does this spark joy? Right? Every single thing, every single pen, every single paperclip, every single bottle, every single book, right? Does it spark joy? Divide it all up into categories. This is a big upgrade that I didn't do before. Like, so you start with clothes. Every single clothes item, does it spark joy? If it doesn't, it's out. Ruthless. If every single book, does it spark joy? If it does, you keep it. If it doesn't, it's got to go. And then you go through papers. Yeah. So you want to write this down. Books. Sorry. Clothes first, then books, then papers, and then you're basically everything else. You know, electronics, cleaning stuff. You know, bathroom things, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Do it in categories so you gather everything together. By the time you've got your piles of things that you're keeping and not keeping, that in itself is profoundly liberating, but you'll feel so much clearer, so much more energy. And I mean, I'm just amazed. I'm going to write a book on this because it's just like one of the most powerful things ever. If you have a house and you live in your house quite a lot, you might as well do this. And my intention is to do this so hardcore that I don't need to do it again for a long time, even though I will do it. But there's no real need. And it's physically demanding, you know. It's like walking for 20 hours a day, you know. It's like it's physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally demanding and tiring. But that's why it's so powerful. So, Daryl, I highly
recommend
you move
forward. Well, I
mean,
it's tiring,
yeah.
Not tiring, because you get – it does require a certain level of consciousness, but you get so much energy back from it, really.
I mean, I feel tremendous joy, but my physical legs, I've had to go to the beach and lie down and just, like, collapse because it's on my feet all day long, you know. But, yeah, it's so rewarding.
That's the best use ever. Yeah, so I remember we spent one rainy spring. You know, it's the ultimate spring cleaning, really. Michael...
Yeah.
We spent
one
rainy spring. I think it was a month or more, maybe. Every single
month,
little
at least a month.
Speck,
yeah.
A speck and particle of every belonging.
Good Lord. Yeah. And
I wasn't
ruthless enough, but it was extremely powerful.
I discovered that you never. I know you said like you want to do it and you won't do it for a while, but what happens is you actually will always do it because.
I know.
As you evolve, so will all your so will everything that, because all these things are just energy anyhow, you know, and that's why you get so much energy from doing it, because you're releasing all that energy. But as you evolve, so will this It's never ending.
I know. I like it. I mean, I want to do it anyway.
I like it.
But
I'm into it.
Yeah.
In fact, when I really want to shift something, or you know, get some things moving, that's the first thing I do. It's like, all right, what am I going to clean out? You know, let's get some stuff moving here.
Yeah, and that's how you find out what's important and what isn't important. Because it's hard for us to think about what we need to do with our lives when we're surrounded with crap that's dragging us down. You know. Like wading through mud all day long, you know, it's not easy to get a streamlined, you know, flying stage when we're in the mud. It's sticky. So I recommend this. They're all superheroes, and they aim, literally, I'm not joking about this, the aim is 80% is out, 80%, not 20% out, 80%, or minimum, I would say, it's probably about 60%. Because, you know, 80-20 rule clearly says that 20% of things get us 80% of the joy, and we only need 20% of our stuff. So, you know, plan on, you know, removing probably at least, you know, 30 to 50 bags of stuff out of your house, you know, if you have a normal-sized house, or more.
Yeah, I mean, I've discovered, I've been living, probably for the past 6 months, on a small little parcel of objects, small little parcel. And so I've really refined things
drastically, and it's been an interesting discovery, you know. I mean, of course, I have seasonal needs with weather, you know. I mean, but it is something I would encourage, especially now, for those of us in the spring or even fall, both every season is a good time to really take this on. And, you know, it's just a good reason to space clear because, it's a new season. You know, I'm a new person. It's like all nature's doing, you know, nature's shedding its little hard little shells to cover the blossoms. I mean, so we're no different. We can really ride that same energy no matter what the season. There's always transitions and transformations occurring about us at all times. And so to have our personal environment reflect that is just in keeping with who we are in the bigger scheme of things. It's critical, really.
Yeah. So, Daryl, how does that sound to you?
That definitely sounds great. It reminds me of a line I read in Amazing Grace about technology is basically we're all trying to leverage doing more with less. And I think it's part of the evolution as well, of feeling liberated. And indeed, I look around, there's a lot of stuff I can definitely say it doesn't spark joy anymore. So I see myself throwing a couple of trash bags, or at least donating them to someone in the near future. I think I can start by tonight, all right?
Yeah, and I challenge you. The challenge is really to dispose and distribute things consciously, you know, to really... and a lot of people don't want to do that. They just decide, okay, I don't want it, and they just want to get rid of it. But it's the whole process that's key, is to do it with consciousness and integrity so that it's a full circle. You know, you aren't just, like, filling up landmass or whatever those things are called, landfills, but you're discarding things in a conscious, sacred way, or you're passing them on, you know.
Yeah, move them forward. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Move them to the next place. You know, but give them thanks. You say thank you for, you know, serving me, and I hope the next person appreciates it. Give them to people if you can. But at the same time, I think it's dangerous to give people things that they actually don't want. So thrift stores, I think, are great overall, except the special things that you know someone would really love and they already wanted it. But apart from that, I think just giving them away, because someone will buy it and they'll appreciate it and give it away with a lot of love. And you'll feel where they need to go, you know. So I want to mention that we've only got 2 minutes left and this call is going to cut off because of our technology here. So, Daryl, keep us in touch with your latest toolkits. I recommend that you come up with a toolkit. You know, you say, look at all the practices and the things you've learned and come up with your own personal, you know, list of things, you know, your own toolkit, things that you can actually use, work for you. And that goes for all superheroes. You know, we all need to have on hand, so to speak, the things that that work, you know, for us right now. And everyone's going to have different things in their toolkit, but we've got to have that toolkit, otherwise we won't be able to play at the highest level. So, Taylor, any last thoughts? We have 1 minute. Taylor's last thoughts are... silent.
Oh, sorry. I had that loud noise in the background there. Yeah, thank you for those of you that contributed to the call, and Michael and Nick, and just really appreciative to be able to have the space to share and contribute in.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for doing your wonderful bits in the world and just basically showing up and being amazing. We're excited by hearing from you every time. So come back on the call next time, and we look forward to hearing your latest stories and experiences.